Look here with me in verse 11, read down through verse 16, and I'm going to hopefully bring a message from this. It'll be a blessing. Exodus 30:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, God speaking to Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 10-20 gerah, and half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your soul. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your soul. It's a talk about money. It's shekels, half a shekel. And talking about money being a ransom for their soul. To talk about money and redemption, money and atonement, money and ransom at the same time seems like an anomaly. Since the scripture says we're not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb slain without spot and without blemish. But here it is. I read it to you in black and white. You read it in God's Word. It says there in verse 16, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel. Atonement money. And there it is, black and white. And the children of Israel, they've taken a census here. They were numbering. Everybody that was over 20 years of old age, every male child, when they numbered them, they had to pay a half a shekel as a ransom, as an atonement, as redemption money. And I'll tell you this, I'll tell you a few things about it before I get into it. In bringing their atonement money, their half shekel, they all admitted by that bringing that they deserved to die. That it was an atonement. It was for atonement. It was for redemption. It was for ransom. And only people that needs redemption and has to have this is people who say they deserve to die. So they need an atonement. And then secondly, they owned and saw that they was in debt to God. They was in debt to God. And in bringing this half shekel, confessed that they were in need of redemption. They needed to be redeemed. But this atonement money that they called the redemption money, this redemption, give a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. Just make an atonement for your soul. Take the atonement money. The atonement money here that was the atonement for their souls was typical of the great redemption price. The great, great, great redemption price that would be paid for the souls of sinners, that he should come and pay, our Lord Jesus would pay for the souls of sinners when he came. And we're taught also this blessed truth. Let the redeemed of the Lord, Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed by God, say it. I've been redeemed. I needed redemption. I owed a debt I could not pay. And I deserve to die. And I know this, that if men reject the redemption that God ordains, then they're not his people. Whatever God says, that's what we believe. That true believers those who really know Christ that have been numbered, said those that are over 20, them that have been numbered, we all can say that we've been numbered. We've been redeemed from sin by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed His precious blood to redeem us and bring us to Himself. And all of those who are Christians, true believers, have personally accepted the ransom. Accepted the ransom that the Lord provides. Knowing that all that He provides, He accepts. In fact, He only accepts what He Himself provides. If He don't provide it, it ain't worth having. And He provides it, and when He provides it, then He accepts it. So we take what He provides, and He only provides what we accept and what He provides. And then they brought their redemption money. These who know Christ brought their redemption money in their hands by taking the Lord Jesus Christ to be theirs. He is ours. I'm my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. And they by faith, listen to me, we by faith bring the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's who God provided for our redemption. We bring the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring His atonement. We bring His blood. We bring His worth. We bring His merit. He's whom God provided, and we by faith bring Him to pour the Lord and say, here He is. I ain't got nothing but Him. I got nothing but Him. In my hand, no price I bring. Not of my own, but I've got Him. Lord, here He is. He's who You provided Him, and I'm bringing whom You provided. And that's why the Scriptures means we're accepted in the Beloved. And the only ones that were numbered, now listen to me, ever said everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and up, only the ones that were numbered were the redeemed. Men go around counting heads, but God looks on the heart. Huh? Men can number people. You can number how many's in a congregation, but you can't number those that God numbers. You can't do that. And all those that have received His blessed Son by grace. So let's look at this redemption price, this redemption money, this atonement money. Now look what it says here in verse 12. When thou takest of the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. You notice this, that this was personal and individual. Every man for his soul. Every man. He didn't say a nation. He didn't, not a nation, not a family, but every man. And it had nothing to do with a person's position. Didn't have nothing to do with a person's birth. Didn't have nothing to do with a person's wealth. All alike before God, they individually, every man for his own soul. And we have to deal with God on our own. God deals with us as individual, personally. And I don't like that He's our personal Savior. But I do know this, that He deals with each and one of us personally. Personally, every man for his own soul. Look, Lord, you keep this and look with me over here in Psalm 49. Look at Psalm 49. Look what it says down here in verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. Not anybody. For the redemption of their souls is precious. So I tell you, beloved, God is saying that it's every man You could try to pay for a man, but God said here, that every man for his own soul. You know, it's a personal redemption. Paul said that Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God, by the faith of Christ, who loved me, and gave himself for me. Now, you can't get any more personal than that. Paul said, this is what he did for me. Gave himself for me. Can you say he gave himself for you? Oh, my. It's not a general, redemption, not a universal redemption that gives no comfort. If Christ redeemed everybody, how in the world can you tell whether you're one of the redeemed or not? Oh, no, that's not the way it works. He didn't redeem a general redemption or a universal redemption. I do know this, that if he died for every man would be saved. There wouldn't be no such thing as hell if he died for every man. Everyone for whom he died will have to be with him where he is. And then, but I tell you what, he said, those that are numbered, everyone that's numbered, shall give every man for his own soul unto the Lord. And let me show you something else about this ransom over here in Exodus 30. Look in verse 13. This they shall give everyone that passes among them that are numbered, a half a shekel. The price was fixed by God himself. God fixed the price. No more, no less. Man doesn't decide what he's going to give. Man doesn't decide what he's going to offer. Man doesn't decide what it's going to take to ransom his soul. Man has nothing to do with that. God fixed the price. And I tell you what, man doesn't decide or fix the price that what he's going to give to God for redemption. I tell you, some people have fixed their own price. Cain fixed his own price. What did it cost him? Cost him his soul. Esau fixed his own price. Cost him his soul. Simon the sorcerer fixed his own price. Lost his soul. Ananias and Sapphira fixed their own price and perished. Demas fixed his own price and perished. Judas fixed his own price and perished. God fixed the price. And it's not up to us to decide what we're going to give. God said this is what it's going to be. Huh? And that's what Job, when he was fixing to go down into the pit, God said, deliver him from going down into the pit. Why? I found a ransom. And then not only says that, I could take you over a short to you, but it says with God, when he came back, when he said deliver him from going down to the pit, I found a ransom. He said his youth came back to him. His skin was like a child's skin. I mean, he was just new. And oh, I found a ransom. Where? He didn't find it in Job. He didn't find it in Job's goodness. He didn't find it in Job's works. He didn't find it in Job's merit. He found the ransom price in his own dear son. Huh? Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, he said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom. Now listen to that. For many. Not everybody, for many. Who? The numbered. The number. And all the price, I'm telling you, the price was fixed before the foundation of the world. God, Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and God, he set that price. And I tell you what, beloved, we couldn't pay the uttermost farthing. And our Lord Jesus paid it
all
of them out.
And let me tell you something else about this ransom money, this atonement money. Again in verse 13, look what it says. This shall they give every one that passes among them that are numbered half a shekel. Now watch this. After the shekel of the sanctuary. Now what does that mean? It was a redemption that met God's holy demands. It was a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. Now I was just reading what a half a shekel is. A shekel is 0.04 hundredths of a silver. So your half a shekel is 0.2 hundredths. Just a little bit. But he said it's after the sanctuary. There was a weight that God set. A weight. And that weight had to be exactly what God said it had to be. And I'll tell you what, it must be according to the shekel that was laid up in the holy place. God's the one that set the standard of this weight of the shekel. And I tell you, this shekel that they're talking about, this ransom money that they're talking about, it's not the money of commerce that's been tainted. It's not the worn and wore out and tarnished. No, no. And then he said, it's a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. And our atonement must meet the requirements of God. We've got to meet the requirements of God. Just like the shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. Perfect weight. God's standard. And we got to meet God's standard. Well, how can we meet God's standard? Well, we can't. Well, who did? His blessed Son did. How are we going to meet God's standard of holiness, righteousness, His law, and His loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself? Where can we find the perfect weight? Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, only in Christ, only by His blood, only by His righteousness. God set the standard. God fixed the ransom. And the ransom, our Lord Jesus Christ, His ransom was perfect. God set the standard. He paid the full price. God said, you've got to be holy. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin. God said, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Christ died. Not willing for His own sin, but for the sins of His people. God's broken law says there's two things that have you either obey it, and if you break it, we're talking about the Ten Commandments now, and if you break it, you're under the curse. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ did both. He obeyed it, and then went under its penalty and bore its curse and redeemed us by His blood from under the curse of God's holy law. And I'll tell you what, He was weighed in the balance. Our Lord Jesus Christ was weighed in the balance. And I'm telling you what, He met God's standard in every way you could possibly imagine. Huh? He was weighed in God's sanctuary in heaven. And His weight was a perfect weight, a glorious weight. And I tell you, they weighed Him in every way. They weighed Him in the law. The law weighed Him. What did the law say? I find no fault. He's sinless, holy, harmless. He's satisfied me. He's obeyed me. He's upheld me. He's magnified me. Man tried Him. And our Lord said, which of you convinces me of sin? Pilate said four times, I find no fault in this man. Pilate's wife said, don't have nothing to do with this just man. And all his pride did put in the balances of Satan. Satan tried Him in every way. Found Him at His weakest part, as far as His flesh was concerned. And then when our Lord got ready to go back, He said, here comes the prince of this world, and he has no part in me. And oh my. Then He was put in God's weight, God's balances. Oh, my. And you know what he said? He said, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Now, glorify me with the glory that I had in you before the world began. And I'll tell you something else. The last thing that tried him, the last thing that he was put in the balance of, he was put in the balance of death. And when death was putting in them balances, they put him in a cave. But God said, I will not let mine holy one suffer corruption. And I mean even death had to let it go. Oh, he came up to the stake. He came up to perfection. That shekel after the sanctuary, God fixed it. And God provided it. God. Let me show you something else about this ransom money. Look here in this ransom money. There, verse 15. The ransom was alike for exactly everyone. The rich shall not give poor, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for their sins. Huh? Every man requires redemption, but it's the same for all. That's what I love about the gospel. I love this about the gospel. You bring a prince in here, a king in here, a sultan in here. He's got to hear the same thing that you've got to hear. You bring a man in here that, I mean, he ain't got no money in his pocket. He's asking you for money to go buy himself a meal with. That's how poor he is. The same gospel for him. You bring a philosopher in here. He's got all kinds of degrees in philosophy. I mean, he's got a brain that you know you can't measure. He's got to hear the same thing. Got to have the same price. And then you bring a poor person in here, a peasant in here, somebody that absolutely has nothing. And oh, my. The preacher. Oh, the preacher. Greg said, no, Todd said he heard a preacher say, here recently, a pre-millennialist, he told his congregation, he said, y'all go shine my shoes in the millennium. He ain't going to be there. But I'll tell you this, every preacher, I got to have just what you have. Got to hear what you hear. Huh? Whether you're a preacher or a prostitute, high or low, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, it don't make no difference. It's a half a shekel for everybody. It's the same for everybody. And this is one of the greatest offenses of the gospel. That they cannot stand this. Somebody comes in with this great intellect and they say, oh, listen, I just cannot believe that. I heard a fellow say the other day, Jesus does not exist. God does not exist. That ain't going to keep God from existing and Christ from existing just because he said he don't. But it's offensive to tell a man, the man that ain't got no education, eighth grade education, and a fellow that's got a great philosophical mind and got PhDs, and tell them both that they can only meet on the same ground. You tell that fellow that he's got his bank plumb full of money. And that fella comes in here and he just barely can afford to pay his light bill and keep the little food on the table. And I'm telling you what, you tell that rich man and that poor man, it takes both of you got to meet on the same playground. That gives offense to people. Donald Trump, every senator, every congressman, every preacher, every man, man. I don't care where he's at and who he is. We got to meet on the same ground. And I'll stand on the ground God put me on. Old Scott used to say that all the time. I'm going to stand on the ground God put me on. That's the ground of a sinner in need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put me on the ground of a man in need of mercy. I'm going to stand on that ground. Ain't you? I'm going to stand right where God put me. I ain't moving a peg. Oh, there was a light for everybody. Ain't that wonderful? You know, that's what folks do. Somebody comes in, you know, and they think, boy, you know, that everybody ought to just fall all over them because they're special in some kind of a way. They're special in some kind of a way. I remember, let me tell you a story. I remember going down to Chattanooga, oh my goodness, it's been 30 years ago, to hear a fellow, John Reesinger. Some of y'all know John. John Reesinger preached. We went down there, and there's a great big Presbyterian church. Oh, it's big. They had a gymnasium in it, and they had all kinds of stuff for the kids to do and all that. And the fellow that pastored this church, him and his wife, owned the largest Christian bookstore in the Southeast. Real well educated, nice. So we went down there, and after service was over, you know, these folks were really somebody, you know. Doctor this and doctor that. And this preacher's wife, I know I've told you this before, this preacher's wife said, now, you know, we was talking and met this preacher and all that. And said, that's Mary. Said, where did your husband, now where did your husband go to school at? Where did he get his education at? Mary said, at Bush College. Oh, I never heard of that one. Where's that at? In the bushes up behind the house. But that's what we... Listen, when God teaches a man, he's taught. I don't care how high he is or how low he is. And I tell you, we love that ground he's taken. Huh? And I'm not proud of my age. I'm not saying that I'm proud of my age, because I'm not. I'm really not. And let me tell you something else about this. The ransom was the only ground of acceptance. Ain't that what he says? The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less. Every man shall give half a shekel. Here all men are on common ground. God's no respecter of persons. People say, well, he's not a respecter of persons. He really isn't. When they say that, that means that God won't save one at the expense of another. But then when it says God's no respecter of persons, that means he's not like us. You know, we respect people's offices. We respect people's authority. I respect policemen. I respect offices. I respect people that's got power and authority, and we defer to them. They've got the power. But when he says no respecter of persons, that means that when you come in here, if you think you're something special, God has to respect you and look at you and have respect toward you because you've got something to offer. But God's no respecter of persons. He don't care who you are. As far as he's concerned, you were born in Adam, raised in Adam, will die in Adam unless God gives you a new heart and a new nature and saves you by his grace. People come in and say, you know who I am? Yeah, I do. You're a sinner. Oh, I don't know about that. I know about it. You may not know it, but I know it. And if you ever find out you are, you'll do just like everybody else that ever found out there's a sinner. Ah, he don't look at anybody with any merit, wealth or poverty. Nothing is accepted but a half a shekel. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not the will of man, but of God. Oh, that's the only hope for us. And I tell you what, that he must bring the redemption price, the half a shekel. Salvation acceptance is by redemption. And our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, is our only ground of acceptance. Huh? Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Huh? The only ground that we have of acceptance is the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Just of being justified freely by His grace. Listen to it. Through the redemption, through the payment price, the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And I tell you what, and this price appointed, here's another thing about it. The price appointed did effectually redeem them. It atoned for them. And it was accepted by the Father. And I tell you, this redemption here was only for Israel. It wasn't for everybody. It wasn't for the it was for those in Israel. And that's this redemption for God's elect. But it was accepted by the Father. Now, I said this down there the other day. I don't know if this is right, but this is what I think. When our Lord Jesus Christ was that 3 hours of darkness on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, I think the Scripture says that He went in to the holy place, not with the blood of bulls, not with the blood of goats, not with the blood of heifers, but with His own blood. He entered in once. And He took His blood into that holy place, just like the holiest of holies, where that mercy seat was. He took His blood into that holy place, put it on God's holy altar up there, and God accepted that blood. God accepted that offering, and our Lord Jesus Christ came back out, and beloved, He obtained right then and there eternal redemption for us, and that redemption went back from the beginning of time to the end of time, and everything in between time. Oh, my. And that's what happened. And I tell you what, Christ's redemption wasn't for everyone alike. No, no. I tell you, did He die for Judas? Did He redeem Judas? The same way He did Peter? No, no, no. It did effectually redeem them. That atonement money was accepted. And beloved, redemption by our Lord Jesus Christ is effectual. It's effectual. I've said this time and time and time again. If Christ died for you and shed His blood for you, and there may be people come in here that we don't know, never met, and I may be gone and another preacher be up here, but I do know this, if somebody comes in here and hears that gospel, and Christ died for them, that redemption that Christ gave for them on the cross, I'm telling you, it will be effectual for them. Won't it? Yeah. And this redemption money, I'm going to show you this last thing. Look with me over here in Exodus 38. Look at this. Oh, this is something. This is something. Exodus 38, verse 25. You know, he's posted out here. Those things set on that redemption money. What they've done is they took that redemption money. And there were so many talents. And they took that redemption money and they molded it. And it had a board would sit down inside that. Sit down inside that. There'd be two boards in one of them sockets of silver. They'd make a socket of silver and it'd be like this here. And they'd set them two boards in that one of them sockets of silver. That's where that money, that's why it's called atonement money. Because it ended up being this foundation for the tabernacle. And that's our foundation is based upon the eternal blood and redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look here. The tabernacle stood on this redemption money. Look what it says now. In verse 25, and the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation
was 100 talents and 1,700 and 75 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Now watch it. A becca for every man, that is half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000, 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of 100 talents, a talent for a socket. So all that money, that tabernacle, that dwelling place where God was, where that brazen altar was, where that mercy seat was, it was built on that atonement money. Huh? And our foundation is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, the church, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, is built upon a foundation, beloved, that can't be shaken, cannot be moved. And there was one exception. This foundation is eternal, built on the eternal blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, just like this silver was. There's one exception. That door into that tabernacle, those posts had brass on them. Why did they have brass on them? For the same reason there was no blood on the threshold at the Passover. Is not counted a common or an unholy thing. So there was no silver when they walked through that gate. There's no silver when they went in to that. They're not going to walk on the blood. And it's like the Passover. I'm telling you what, they didn't walk on the token of redemption. And that Passover blood was on the lintels and on the doorpost. But nobody ever walks on the blood. Paul said, you know, if they count the blood of Christ a common thing, and what that means is they count it as no more than anybody else's needs. And that's why there was no redemption, no silver sockets for them to set on. Because you don't walk on the blood of Christ. And so there's the redemption money, atonement money. It's the same for everybody. He pointed to our blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus, we humble our hearts here in your presence. Lord, I thank you for the truth as it is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you and bless you that you and your sovereign mercy taught me something about myself, taught me of my need. And Lord, I still have the need. And Lord, I know that only you can meet that need. So I just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And may those that are here just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming to Christ. He alone is our acceptance before you. And I'm thankful for that, because I certainly can never be accepted in myself in any way. God have mercy on me, and God bless these dear saints of God. Remember those that are sick among us, who are frail among us. We call their names this morning, and we call them again this evening. You know who they are. God bless them. Lord, strengthen and encourage us for Christ's sake. Amen. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, my the Savior of my soul. the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 Jesus is the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior.